It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
The police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
The police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It's Monday, February 12th, 2024, and Brother Jim's in the studio. Welcome.
Well, yes, I am, and what a nice day to be here, huh?
It is a nice day.
After that, you know, I barely know who played, but that was a great
Watched the Super Bowl.
I knew you'd be surprised.
Wow, it must be a sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
That's crazy.
But I bet people who really understood the game really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm not a big commercial watcher anymore. I think the commercials have gone downhill.
Yeah, me too.
For many years now, and I have my own reasons for that, and they're slightly political and woke and all that.
Okay.
But anyway, the best one was Michelob Ultra with Lionel Messi. The soccer one.
Oh, yes.
And the ball went onto the yacht.
Yes,
And then Dan Marino throws it back. And
Yeah.
But Messi, the best part was he didn't score a goal in that. He got the assist. That was the best part. So, anyway, they were comparing Lionel Messi and Tom Brady before the game. Who's the bigger GOAT?
Uh-huh.
The greatest of all time.
Yes.
So, anyway, great game. Great game. I told Steve when he left the office on Friday, well, yeah, the Niners are tough, but they don't have Patrick Mahomes. And then he walked in the door this morning, and I said, that's what happens when you have Patrick Mahomes.
I guess.
Like the last thing I said and the first thing I said this morning. So there you go. Anyway, congratulations to Chiefs Kingdom, as they call it. And what a weird place to win in a Raiders stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs, if you know the history of that rivalry. Anyway, Get to business here. We have Jenny Toker is here, Executive Director of Hospice of Havasu.
Good morning. Thank
Welcome
you for having
back.
Us. Yes. No, always a pleasure.
No Michelle today, but Michelle sent a music request, and I'll definitely get to that. It was one of my favorite bands, and it ties in with Valentine's Day. And you brought a guest with you, Rochelle David-Heiser, and she is the Medical Social Services Manager and Transitions Coordinator.
Yes. I know, a mouthful.
Take a breath on that one, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're talking about, of course, Hospice of Havasu programs and transitions. And that. Tell us, Rochelle, what is Transitions, the Transitions program?
So Transitions program is basically a non-medical community service outreach program. So we take anyone in the community that needs to be connected with community resources. If they need help with caregiving, help with placement, help with medical appointments, if they need help with support any of the community resources that they might need, or their doctors maybe feel like they need extra support at home and they can't do it because of the medical reasons or not going to the house, we go into the home. We lay eyes on them in their home, in their environment, see what the real needs are. Because a lot of times our seniors will tell us, oh, everything's fine, because they don't want to admit to needing help. So our goal is to go out there and make that personal connection with every single one of them to make sure that their needs are met.
Jim, did you have a question?
Well, I'm just thinking that must be a terribly time-consuming process.
It can be, but it's also very rewarding. I think that the benefit of us being a nonprofit is this is how we are allowed to give back to our community that we've been a part in for so long.
Very nice. Nicely said.
Right. But, I mean, people, especially seniors, have had their, many have had their independence for many years. Mm-hmm. That must be a tough barrier to break right there.
And it is. They don't like to admit that there's changes, that they need help. There's some vulnerability there. There's some rapport that has to be built up and trust so that they know that we're there to help them and not judge them.
Right.
And just make their life as good as we possibly can by getting in the community resources that they need so that they can stay at home if that's what the option is.
What are some of those resources?
It could be Meals on Wheels, transportation. It could be caregiving services. It could be help with navigating their medical care or questions that they have, help with their advanced health care directives. Basically, any need that we fill in that gap and get them connected. We help make sure that the phone calls are made. We do the follow through. We do the application assistance.
Wow.
Instead of just giving phone numbers and sending them out on their own, we make sure that the follow through is there.
Very good.
What's the demand like for transitions right now? Is it increasing as our population gets a little bit older?
It very much is. And I think the more that people learn that we're out there and we're able to help, the more calls and referrals we're getting from families, from clients themselves, from doctors, from home health who can no longer follow, but that person still needs that extra support.
So how do you approach someone if let's say the person needing the care isn't the one who initiates the contact with you? That must be a little bit of a tightrope to walk.
So it really depends. Sometimes the person calling is a friend, a neighbor, a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the client doesn't even know. So our first step is to have you talk to the client. How does the client feel about this? Because we're not going to go in and force ourselves on anyone. And if that's the case, then it's starting in baby steps. If that means we call them up, we introduce themselves, we just tell them, look, we just want to see if we can help you. And that could even mean visiting, socialization, just getting in there, building that bond, building that trust and that rapport until they can see that we're not a threat and we're actually there just to help with anything that they need, and we're not there to do anything that they don't want.
How long does that take typically? I mean, there must be a process here. Doesn't happen typically on the first day in, right?
It can.
Really?
It very much can. Sometimes people are realistic, or they also trust their family or friends or neighbor, and so they feel like if they feel it's a good fit and we can go out there and do a meeting with everybody together so that there's full transparency, it makes them feel more comfortable. There's others that aren't as comfortable, and that might be, you know, a couple of times a week check-in phone calls. Can I come out and make a visit? We don't always get to make a visit the first time, and it's a way of getting ourselves in there just so that they know we're here, we're available, we're going to support you, and there's no penalization, there's no judgment, there's no nothing.
How important is it for the family to be on board, though? Is there consent forms, anything like that? Because, you know, you have friends might call for a friend, not just family. Family may be deceased, you know. You maybe have that situation, too.
Yeah, so we do have a consent form, and that's something that we usually try and get out and have the client sign the consent, because this is really client-driven unless there's some other components to it that might be safety needs, things like that. But the client usually does drive the services and the program and the follow-up. So it is a case management. We do continue to follow up with them with their permission. There are other times where we go in and we meet the client. We might meet with the family and the client, and it might just be that they need connection to resources, and maybe there's a family or friend that can do the follow-up, and they are not ready for a case management follow-up type program, and they just need resources. So we go in, we give them the resources, connect them, and just encourage them to call us with any follow-up questions or needs.
Wow.
How does someone launch this with you if they have a friend, family member that they believe may benefit from your service?
Absolutely. So it would just be calling into Hospice of Havasu, and somebody there is already going to be trained in what to ask, what kinds of questions, what kinds of needs do they have. Mm-hmm. And if it's directing it specifically to one of us to schedule an appointment, or if we're out in the field visiting someone else, then we will get back to them with a scheduled day and time so that we can make that connection. But it doesn't have to be referred by anyone in the community. It doesn't have to be referred by a doctor. It can be a self-referral, a family referral, a neighbor referral. We get referrals from the hospital. We get referrals from everywhere.
How big a staff do you have to handle these inquiries and visits?
So we have 2 to 3 people right now participating in this program.
Are those called caseworkers maybe?
So we have social workers.
Okay.
Yeah, this is mainly social work driven because we are non-medical. And if we do need to get medical involved, then that's when we get permission from the client to bring in their doctor, maybe ask for some specific home health services or anything else that we feel like they might benefit in.
Right.
If they need an advocate to go to their doctor's appointment so that they can fully understand and also disclose what's really going on, that's something that we can do as well.
Tell us what's going on the 29th. That's a Thursday. You got a workshop coming up.
So we do. So we have the Planning for the Future workshop, and basically this is where we invite the community to come into our Hospice of Havasu office. It is by reservation, so we would encourage anyone who's interested to call and place an RSVP. But we're going to be going over and providing all of the documents for your health care power of attorney, your advanced directives, if you want to talk about a POLST or a DNR and what that means. We'll have that available as well. And then we also have a booklet of What My Family Needs to Know. And we're going to provide that and go over a little bit about the information that's in there as far as what questions to ask, what you can fill out, what's important for your family to know in case something were to happen and you are unable to answer those questions.
The DNR, of course, being the Do Not Resuscitate order in case of a terminal illness. So, Jenny, I want to bring you in on this, too. How important is this program to Hospice of Havasu? It's such a different mindset for me. When I think of hospice, I think of a totally different scenario. I don't think of a transitions program as it's been described.
Right. So our transitions program has been operating since 2013.
Oh, my.
It is a service that we offer. It's our gift to the community. We're one of 10 hospices in Lake Havasu City right now. We are the only not-for-profit hospice. And being involved with our community since 1982, it's important for us to continue to serve our community the best way we can. And we saw a need back in 2013. Again, there's people who aren't necessarily, they don't qualify for hospice services, but they're in this area where they have a need for, like I said, that a little bit additional support that allows them to stay independent, and the transition program has allowed them. And at that point, then we're in there, and we can also help communicate with family members who maybe don't live here in Lake Havasu. You know, a lot of our population, they live here, but their kids live elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So the transition program also, we get to be the eyes and ears, boots on the ground, and help these families navigate when their parents or their loved ones are starting to decline. But again, they're not seeing it or realizing it. It's just the way they live. So right. The transitions program is a way to get in and really help support the community. And, you know, like I said, we have very strict guidelines from Medicare on what hospice is and what it's supposed to be. So the transition program allows us to get in there a little earlier so that we're helping these people have the best life that they can and maintain their independence. So.
Rochelle, I hear a lot of passion for what you do. What is your background in this, and how long have you been with Hospice of Havasu?
Yes, so I have my master's in social work, and I have been involved in hospice care for 25 years. And so I've been with Hospice of Havasu since I moved out here about a year ago in Havasu. And so they are, I will say, the first nonprofit I've ever worked for, and it's been a game changer for me. I feel a new drive, new passion that I hadn't felt for a while.
I get that.
This is very exciting, and I love it.
Yeah, having been in the nonprofit world, I get that.
I was amazed to just now learn that there are 10 hospices. I thought hospice was kind of like police department. You know, there would be a hospice like there would be a police department.
Right.
You know, never occurred to me that.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Like in Vegas, there's Nathan Adelson Hospice, which is huge and has been around since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
But I know what you mean. What about the cost? What is the cost to a person to investigate this transitions program?
There's no cost to the community. Anyone who contacts us, these services are provided at no charge to the individuals needing or the clients needing the assistance. It, again, is our gift to the community. As the only local freestanding hospice, we're the only hospice in Lake Havasu who isn't attached to a corporation or another business that has their main headquarters outside of Lake Havasu. Everything we do is for our communities in Lake Havasu City and Bullhead City. And the transition program, like I said, is our gift to the community.
It's important to note too, Rochelle, it's not just the patient or that client that needs help. It's the family many times, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, and it differs by client. It could be the client needs more help and the family's not ready. Hmm. It could be that the family sees the need and the client's not ready. So it can go both ways. And so part of our role is navigating that, trying to get everyone as informed and educated as we can. And so that hopefully everybody can get on the same page with what the situation is and what the needs are.
All right. Very good. You ready to take a break?
Sure.
All right. So, Michelle Guardia, of course, making her mark on the show, right? Because she sends me the notes and that. And because she puts in the work, we're going to play her song request.
Absolutely.
And
she always picks a good one.
One of my favorite Tesla songs, for sure, is Love Song. And this is for Valentine's Day. We're going to try to keep it in a love theme today, but rock and roll at the same time. Does that work for you, Jim?
Oh, you bet. Rock and roll love.
Jim's a
sounds
traditional
right.
country Hank Snow guy. Hank
you
Williams
bet.
Jr., Hank Williams Sr.,
country is
all
bad.
Of that. Right. So, anyway, indulge me, okay?
Okay, you got it.
All right, back with more in a moment. If you want to participate, it's 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Back with more in a moment. We're talking with Hospice of Havasu, the Executive Director, Jenny Toker, and Rochelle Davidheiser, Medical Social Services Manager and Transitions Coordinator. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back on Speak Out, and it's brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Patio Paradise by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Older than the London Bridge, but not older than Jim Russell.
That's right.
That would be tough, because not much was here when...
The dirt wasn't.
Yeah, that would be older than dirt. All right. Ask about Salmon Superior Maintenance Plan. And by our newest sponsor, Jim's next door neighbor, Blonzy Steakhouse.
Yes, with the best breakfast.
4501 London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius and all veggie sandwich. And don't forget, we stream live and our show archives are at KNTRTalk.com. All right, we're back with Hospice of Havasu Executive Director Jenny Toker and Rochelle Davidheiser, Medical Social Services Manager and Transitions Coordinator. I don't think we touched on where the workshop is.
So the workshop is located at our Hospice of Havasu building right next to our resale store, 232 London Bridge Road. And the phone number is 928-453-2111 if anybody's interested in RSVPing.
That's an easy one. 2111. No, it's just easy.
Yeah.
So, and what time was that?
That is being held at 10:30 on Thursday, February 29th.
Right, 10:30 in the morning. All right, I want to get real quick to the tribute concerts that Michelle listed here. TAD Management, I guess, is helping to bring these in, correct?
Right, yes. And they, this is our third year that we've been selling 50-50 tickets. It's such a great community event that we get to participate. Rochelle has been working, actually, quite a few of them. And, you know, it's just a way for us to get out there and talk to the community. And, you know, we get to keep 50% of the proceeds, and the other 50 goes to the audience that night, whoever's participated. One lucky winner gets to take half of the proceeds home as well. But we really appreciate TAD Management for allowing us this opportunity. Those concerts are a lot of fun, for sure.
It sounds like a lot. What kind of music are we talking about?
Oh, my gosh. All different everything. Kinds. Yeah, I think we have Garth Brooks coming up on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, we had Stevie Nicks, Journey, Voyager.
Frankie Valli's coming up. Yeah, everything. There's something for everybody at these tribute concerts, for sure. So
yeah, they're great.
You know, the Eagles, Journey, like Rochelle said, country western. So there's something for everybody.
Is there a website or something where you can find all the dates and times and prices and...
Yes, there is. If you go to www.facebook.com/TAD Management Photos, that's one way that you can see the schedule, or you can go to yourconcerttix.com/venue/Lake Havasu Aquatic Center.
Okay.
Both of those will have information on the concerts, the remaining concerts. They go through the end of March, so we're about halfway through this year's concert series. And they're, like I said, they're a lot of fun. Everybody gets out there and, you know, really gets into the music that's being offered.
Did you talk about the 50-50?
Yes.
That goes on at that?
Yeah, so before the concert, Hospice of Havasu, it will be there selling tickets. The tickets are... $1, they're $5,
so, yeah.
$5 for $5.
It's $6 for $5. We sell tickets from 6, and then we announce the winner at 7 right before the concert.
Okay.
Yes, so.
I like the trick where they do the arm's length. Have you seen those? You think you're getting more?
Yeah.
Right. But everybody gets the same amount?
Yeah.
Right.
We already have them
pre-torn.
So
it's a psychological thing.
$6 for $5,
yeah.
But, yeah, the good part, I mean, 50% goes to Hospice of Havasu, but the other 50% could go to you, too, if you have a generous winner.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that happens very often as well.
Right. Well, ladies, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We'll see you in a couple months.
Yes, and I hope people will join us at our Planning for the Future on February 29th.
All right.
A great event.
Well, tell Michelle to get well.
I will.
And that we played her kind of music on today's show.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jenny Toker, Executive Director, Hospice of Havasu, and Rochelle Davidheiser, Medical Social Services Manager and Transitions Coordinator. Wow. Yeah, you think? Well, I'm thinking you gave her the title, Jenny. So, anyway, we'll come back with more in a moment. And something, Jim's going to learn something today.
No.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's all about literacy council.
Oh, yes.
She deals,
we've established
she
that.
She deals really well with illiterate people.
I guess I should be.
Sandy Robbins is coming into the studio. She's a Kiwanian and... the founder, I believe, of the Lake Havasu City Literacy Council. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We're doing it for Valentine's Day, so there you go. It's from the person who didn't make it in from Hospice of Havasu. I know she loves Guns N' Roses.
No.
She's a GNR girl for sure. If she likes the Scorpions, she likes Guns N' Roses. So that's just how Michelle rolls. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining, and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair. Also, Springberg Wealth Management by Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, by SamsGuns.com, and by Doritos Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006. You hear that solo right there, Jim?
Yes.
I remember exactly where I was the very first time I heard that solo. I swear it was on the radio. It was a compromising position, but I remember exactly where I was.
We won't ask.
And it was in the 80s. It was like around 1986, 87-ish. So, anyway, buy local or buy local, and then take Jim's advice right here.
Yeah, if you don't do business with these folks, you know, who could you do business with? My gosh, these guys are clever enough to spend their advertising dollar with us.
Very cleverly of them.
yes, a blast from the past.
Yeah, right.
For Steve.
I actually took over for Steve Cleverly, if you remember right. And you were, it was over here. Yeah. I was at that end of the table and you were over
at
here.
At that end of the table.
Yeah,
yes.
right.
Yeah.
It was a different table.
That was only a few decades ago.
It seems like it. It was about 14, 15, I don't know, 2007, whatever that was.
Is that
17
what it was?
Years ago.
My wow. gosh.
Can you believe that? So our guest now, and thank you so much for coming in. We had another guest scheduled and she texted me very late and said, I'm not feeling good today. And I'm like, well, you know, we don't want to bring germs into this mm-hmm. small room environment. So yeah, go ahead and take the morning off. And Sandy was nice enough to come in. Sandy Robbins, who is the director of the Lake Havasu City Literacy Council. I called you the founder, but that's another person, correct?
It is. Christine Luthien, she didn't actually found it either, but she started it at the very, very beginning. Like, I believe it was like 1977.
What?
So it's been around for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
That long?
Yeah.
So I told Jim, who was coming in the second part of the hour, and he kind of looked at me like, what's that?
Yeah.
So what is the Lake Havasu City Literacy Council?
I'm embarrassed to say I was unaware.
Well, we're hoping to let more people know about our Literacy Council. It did start out as just adults, and adults come for various reasons. Yes, we do have second language adults, but we also have older folks. The cutest one I had lately, he's about 75 years old. He came in. He said, I'm tired of listening to books. I want to read them myself, and
wow.
I need a better vocabulary. And
thought of that.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I mean, you know, a lot of the books, the vocabulary is upped a little bit if you're not into that and you don't want to look things up all the time. So we still have, we have about 8 adults that come in regularly. All of our volunteers, our tutors are volunteers. Many of them are retired teachers, principals, but we have some volunteers that have never been in education at all and just like to, you know, help out. When we moved to Lake Havasu in about 2010, I'm a retired high school principal, elementary reading specialist was my thing. And so I got involved in the Literacy Council, and I've tutored a lot of adults. One family I've tutored over 5 years, including everybody in their family, their mom, dad, 2 kids. But my love really was working with students at the elementary. So 2 years ago, I took it over as the director because Christine retired. And since then, we have definitely expanded. We are now in 5 of the 6 elementary schools here in Havasu. And we are at Telesis, and we just got our first student at Calvary. So, and we, all of our tutors go through a orientation session. This last year, we came up with a handbook for our tutors, and we work with Portland. Portland has a great literacy council, and one of our tutors knew about them, and they sent us their manual, and we adapted it, so we have a manual. And the district has been very generous. All of the people that volunteer to be tutor get free fingerprinting through the district. Mm. So they go down, we get fingerprints, we wear badges. Mm-hmm. A note goes home to the parents giving permission for their child to be tutored. And most all of the elementary students are tutored at the school. And we introduce the tutor to the teacher. Many of the teachers, they have specific things they want the students to work on, but not always. We do have materials. At several of the schools, we have a little resource room where we have some materials. We have snacks for the kids because they can't last very long. And it's usually right after school and for maybe an hour. Sometimes it's just an hour a week, and sometimes it's more than 2 hours. This year, we've already volunteered over 180 hours. We keep track of our hours in case we want to apply for grants and that kind of thing.
I was telling Jim before the show about I don't know when you were a principal, but I'm sure you remember the name Dexter Manley.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter Manley was a defensive player for the Washington Redskins. Got through high school, was recruited heavily in college, got all the way through college, and couldn't read.
He
couldn't read. And it was like, he played for the Washington Redskins. And it was like, is that still prevalent today, though?
Well, he was very fortunate. So he must have had that someone helped him get through and be able to do that.
And he
made it. Because honestly, the statistics are shocking. 75% of the inmates read below fourth grade level.
Oh, my.
75%. And
that's
if 75% of the people that do read below fourth grade, if they're not in prison, they're on welfare. You know, because,
makes sense.
And really sure. One of our mission statements, we work for employability because reading is not just entertainment, it is employability and all of the above. So, and in our particular district, which is higher than a lot of districts, mm-hmm. This last year, we're still 54% below proficient.
In reading?
In reading.
What about writing? Is that all part of it, too?
Yeah, it's all kind of the same, reading and writing.
With the Literacy Council, do you focus on writing as well?
We do as well.
Or those characters? Because a lot of kids can't read because they can't.
Right.
They're either dyslexic or some other reading disability, or they can't write their letters.
Right, absolutely. And really, writing is another kinesthetic way to learn your reading. So it's all together, the phonics, the reading, comprehension, writing. So, you know, we have materials that we work on that. But it is really, in our mission statement, we said the Lake Havasu Literacy Council is committed to improving literacy in the community of Lake Havasu. Services are provided by volunteer tutors at no cost to students in order to improve the quality of life, enhance employability, mm-hmm. and ultimately reduce poverty, which is true.
It goes hand in hand.
Wow. Yeah.
Is all of this one-on-one?
All one-on-one. And we've stuck to that. We did try a little bit. One school really wanted us to work in groups. But what we find is many times the students, and the teachers recommend the students. Parents can call, but a lot of times it's the teachers. It's the attention. They just can't pay attention. So the one-on-one is huge. They can make more progress in an hour than they can all day if they're not paying attention and they're, going off and stuff. So we really do stick with the one-on-one.
And you mentioned you're a former principal.
Yes.
You have a teaching background as well?
Yes.
Did you teach reading?
I did. My very first job, I got my reading credential. My first job was as a reading teacher. And I was at the elementary, and then I ended up going to the middle school. And then I worked in the district office as a consultant for reading, and then I don't know how I ended up at the high school, but I did, and I was there for 10 years.
right. There's so many kids, though, I don't need this for later when they're talking about math. Mm-hmm. Reading's different.
Reading's different.
You need it for everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Especially if you want to take your driver's test.
Right.
There's a lot of things you need reading for.
And there's so much screen time now. But I mean, there's still a lot of reading on the screen time, even though it's not always the appropriate reading. but at least they need those skills.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm a horrible reader. In fact, the last book I read was an audio book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm a horrible reader. I don't have look at me. I don't have the patience to sit there and read. I'd rather watch the movie. You know what I mean? And you mentioned that you have adult clients, are they?
Yes.
Okay, adult clients, and there's 8 of them.
Right now we have 8.
Is that odd for you to have adults like that?
No, not at all. I mean, I have some touching stories. We had a family from Ukraine right when it got all crazy, and we were tutoring the dad. I was tutoring the dad and the mom, and there were kids, and then he and his son had to go back to Ukraine because they had a business, and we haven't heard from them since.
Oh,
but they just wanted to, you know, well, actually, I did hear that the rest of the family ended up going to some relatives in Texas. But, lots of various reasons. Some of them are getting ready. They want to take an employability test. We had one person working at a restaurant and wanted to know more of the terminology because they were working in the kitchen and they wanted to be able to work. I mean, lots of reasons people come.
So how does someone who feels they need this How do they contact you?
Or? So glad you asked that. Okay, so we have lots of ways. We are a 501(c). So we're part of MojaveWelcome.org. So that's a website. If you get on, you see all of our information. There's a Lake Havasu site. We also have a Facebook page, Lake Havasu Literacy Council. And then a direct email to me is lakehavasureads@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we get right back to you and make sure. But you can sign up on the MojaveWelcome.org or the Lake Havasu Literacy Council.
You mentioned Telesis earlier. Mm-hmm. How important is Sandy Brees to this program?
Oh, she's very important. In fact, she's on our board.
Dr. Sandy Brees,
Brees is on our board. We have a board for our Literacy Council. Gail Millay, who's a retired superintendent, is on our board. So we have a lot of expertise on that help us do different wells. In fact, Corey Triassi, who was the principal at Starline, is on our board. And so when we get together, we get lots of good ideas and materials.
So for parents that are out there listening right now and they think, well, I'm not sure if my child has any reading problems or any reading disability, how do you know as a parent if your child might need tutoring?
Usually they know because the teacher has, you know, notified them or they're not getting, you know, passing grades on their test, or the kid just basically hates to read, and, you know, just doesn't want, and that can help too. And our library here, for the parents, all of our students take what they call AR, Accelerated Reader Tests, and they have to take them online, and they take them at their reading level. Our library here has all their books with the AR level on the spine, so parents can go in and pick up books and help their students so they can progress in those.
I'm gonna strike at the passion chord right now.
Okay.
What is it like when the light finally comes on and you see them sounding out that, oh, that's what that word is? What is that like for you as a tutor?
It is everything. It really is. I mean, when you see a student just feel good about themselves, and I do always tell my volunteers, if they're not feeling real confident, I said, you just having that personal connection with that student and helping them feel good about themselves is 100%, because they need that to think that they can do it.
How important are grants to your organization or donations?
It is very important, because we do, well, we provide snacks, I already said that. We did have a big book fair this year where we gave out, like, we had over 500 books.
I remember.
Yeah, we worked with an organization in Phoenix, Kids Need to Read. So we do donate books. We try to buy different materials. Like I said, we have things at each school, and we only have it at two schools now, and we want to expand to our other five schools to have resources there for the volunteers.
Right. Are you looking for more volunteers?
Yes, we're always looking for more volunteers. We have waiting lists for students and actually an adult. And I just have a brand new adult who happens to be a custodian at one of the elementary schools. And she said, I saw some of the volunteers coming in, and she goes, I'd like to be a part of that. So,
is it difficult for people to say, I need help when it comes to reading?
I don't know. It might be, but I mean, we try to make them as comfortable as possible. And, you know, I think once the adults get there, and you know, it's up to them. If it's not working for them, then there's no obligation.
I think it's like anything else, Jim. Once you see that you're not the only person.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, okay, I'm not the only one that has this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's probably relieving to them, perhaps, to be able to admit to someone that they're challenged in that area.
Right.
And we always make
covering it.
Right. Make sure we have lots of assessment tests, and we find out right where they are. So we don't take them back where they're going to be bored. If they own, like, somebody needs specific vocabulary for a restaurant, that's what we're going to work on.
Sure.
You know.
What about the volunteers? Is there an assessment test for them as well?
Well, obviously, we have meetings once a month, and they come, and we provide training, and if we always ask them how it's going and if there's anything going on, and so we try to support them in every way.
Jim, I don't know if there's enough training in the world for me. I didn't go to medical school, so I have no patience whatsoever. I'm just saying, that is the wrong profession for me. It really is.
Yeah, you wouldn't be the right teacher.
No. It must take a ton of patience to do what you do, Sandy.
Well, sometimes it does. But I mean, they're just, they're so cute. They really are. Most of the kids. My favorite story, because comprehension's a big thing. And sometimes kids are what we call word callers. They can read perfectly, but they don't really understand it. And I had this little boy.
Oh, comprehension.
So he read the whole thing. And so then I said, so what was that about? And he looked at me and goes, I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, don't take the ACT, right? Man.
Very good.
Yeah.
So I was going to mention, too, the biggest kid of all is Fred.
Oh,
I have to mention Fred since you're on the program.
Absolutely.
Fred is like my nemesis, but a really good friend at the same time, right?
Yes. And I'm lucky that he supports me in hauling all my materials around and everything. And that
I go to speak at a meeting and I stand up from my seat. And Fred always says, hey, stand up, will you? Because he's so tall. Yeah, and you guys sure, you do a lot for the community. You're a Kiwanian as well. And you're on the board, correct?
I'm on the board, and I'm on the board for the Balloon Festival.
Yes.
And just completed, I was the head of the 5K, 10K run.
Right.
That was a busy time.
I heard the treasurer spot's coming open, too.
No way.
And secretary.
Yeah.
That might be the busiest job of all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So tell people how they can get in touch with your organization if they either want to be a volunteer or maybe they just want to know more about how they can help their child or an adult with literacy.
The easiest way is to email me at lakehavasureads@gmail.com. There's two websites also, one on Facebook, Lake Havasu Literacy Council, or MojaveWelcome.org.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. And then where do you normally meet then for those meetings?
We meet at the library, and we actually do have one coming up. Thank you for saying that. The Lake Havasu
branch of the Mojave County Library,
right,
which is right across from the Radio Central Studios.
Right. So on the 20th of February is our next meeting at 10 o'clock at Telesis.
Oh, very
good.
We're
going to meet at Telesis. Normally we meet at the library. They don't have a room, so Sandy Breeze has arranged for us to meet there. So if they text me, I can give them more information.
Perfect. Anything we missed that you want to get out there?
Nope, not that. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, because we really, if you've thought about volunteering, this is a nice place to go, a nice group. We have women and men volunteering, and we all support each other and would love to have more.
Background checks or anything like that?
Well, they do that when they get their fingerprints.
Oh, very good.
From the district, yes.
Oh, very good.
Now, if they want to tutor an adult at the library, they do not have to go through that.
Right.
And we tutor all the adults at the library. We have tutor rooms there that reserve. Yeah.
Oh,
so all of the adult supervision for the kids, those adult volunteers
have been
fingerprinted and background checked. Very good.
Yep.
Boy, they covered all the bases, didn't they?
What a great thing. Well, I feel educated now.
Good.
Now I know
all
about
help
the literacy.
Spread the word.
It's always good when Jim learns
that's
something.
Right.
You're never,
that's our goal.
You're never too old to learn.
Absolutely.
I agree.
All right. Our mission statement.
We're going to take a short break. Jim and I will come back with more in a moment. Again, we've been talking with Sandy Robbins. She's the director of the Lake Havasu City Literacy Council. Give them the email one more time.
LakeHavasureads@gmail.com.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a short break. Back with a final shot in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. See, we got a lady here in the studio who thinks she knows rock and roll, right? But she's not a Scorpions fan like I am.
Uh-huh.
So. Marissa June, I always give her grief. She dishes it out. She can take it, too. So you got to if you're going to be my production assistant, right? All right. What did you think of the show today?
Very good.
Not too bad?
Yeah. Educational.
Well, it ain't bluegrass we're playing, but there's a bluegrass festival coming up.
Yes, there is.
It's March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. here in Lake Havasu City. It's called the Bluegrass on the Beach, the 21st annual. And we're going to have Danny Stewart on the show sometime soon. I'll get Danny to record an interview, and we'll play it back for you. Yeah. Go to bluegrassonthebeach.com for more information.
Danny's a good guy. That's a great event.
Right. Took over for Larry.
Yes.
Crazy. I was like, yes. Where's Larry? Nope, not doing it.
You know,
he's retired.
Danny does his cruises, bluegrass cruises.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's not like you have to load a bunch of amps and stuff on the cruise, right?
True.
You don't need a lot of power. No electricity needed. Just bring your banjo and your harmonica and leave the Lexus at home.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke, by the way.
Oh.
All right. Don't forget, Speak Out 2.0 coming up next. And the guest, Mike Kern, Desert Light Christian Academy. I know Mike Kern.
Wow.
He was my production assistant right out of high school back in my television days, back in the early 90s.
This Mike Kern?
Yeah, Mike Kern. I know. He's an IT guy now.
I see.
And he was always really good at that sort of thing, too. So Gail Moscato is also coming on from Positive Paws. And Gail, an animal rights advocate in Bullhead City, does a great job. All right, that's all we got time for, Jim.
Off to fireworks.
That's it. Speak Out 2.0 coming up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.